Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah. We'll be reading from chapter 64 of the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 9 of Isaiah 64, and it is found on page 643 of your Pew Bibles. This time, let us listen to God's word for us. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at thy presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make thy name known to thy adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains quaked at thy presence. From of old no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides thee who works for those who wait for him. Thou meetest him that joyfully works righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou wast angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time and shall be saved. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one that calls upon thy name, that bestirs himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast delivered us into the hand of our iniquities. Yet, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter. We are all weak. We are all the work of thy hand. Be not exceedingly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, consider, we are all thy people. The word of the Lord. O Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Christ, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is the season of Advent, the first Sunday in Advent. We don't usually think of Advent as a time of tears and lamentations, not with the shopping malls and retail stores in full throttle promoting their versions of Yuletide cheer, not with all the parties and the caroling and the festive decorations. Everyone knows that this season is indeed a season to be jolly. And yet, despite the festive trappings all around us, we are reminded that Advent begins with tears and lamentations. It begins in darkness. It begins in desperation, with feelings of God-forsakenness. Advent is a season for all of those who are at the end of their rope, all of those who are desperately watching and waiting and longing for the coming of God into our world, to arrest the darkness in our lives and the darkness in our world. Perhaps you're saying to yourself this morning that doesn't sound like a good way to start the first Sunday in Advent, the first Sunday in the Christian year, especially since we're still basking in the afterglow of Thanksgiving. Why can't we start Advent on a more joyful note? I believe it was C.S. Lewis who once wrote that the Christian faith is a thing of unspeakable joy, but it does not begin with joy, but rather despair. And it's no good trying to reach the joy without first going through despair. And so this morning in our reading, we are called to experience a little bit of that despair. The prophet Isaiah knows a thing or two about despair. It's usually during this time of year we repair to his broad visions of God's coming future, a future where lions and lambs lay down with each other, where swords are beaten into plowshares and a feast to end all feast occurs on God's holy mountain, where everyone is invited and there's enough for everyone. But in our reading this morning, even the old Advent prophet himself is at the end of the rope. The Israelites have just spent 50 years in captivity deep in the bowels of Babylon. But now they're back in their own land, the land of promise. Only there's nothing very promising about it. The land has been laid waste, the temple has been destroyed, and Israel's enemies are still in control. And if that's not bad enough, there's not a sign of God anywhere. Not in heaven, not on earth, not in the hearts and minds of the people. All the people have are their collective memories of how God had come to their rescue in the past and the hope that God might come to their rescue again. But God is silent. God is hidden from them. And so in the midst of their current distress, the prophet cries out, "Oh, Lord, if you would just tear open the heavens. If you would just tear open the heavens and come down. Come down like you did when you parted the Red Sea. Come down like you did when you caused Sinai to shake. If you would just come down and rescue us from our darkness and despair." Of course, that's not the kind of prayer that you pray in polite society. It's not the kind of prayer that you pray on Sunday mornings when you're trying to maintain a semblance of control and respectability. It's the kind of prayer that you pray when you're at the end of your rope, when you've lost all hope in conventional methods, when you have no money, no power, no influence. When all you have is your voice and a hope that just maybe God might hear you and listen to you and tear through the darkness to come to your rescue. A few years ago, much of our nation was enthralled by an elderly radio evangelist who dared to predict the end of the world. Judgment Day, he called it. I remember seeing one of the billboards along Roosevelt Boulevard. Many of us were amused by how readily people were seduced by dubious timetables and calculations purporting to know the exact day and hour that the world would end and the Lord would return. But we can certainly understand, can't we, the deep longing that many people have for God to tear into the current darkness of our world and to bring healing and peace and righteousness. We certainly understand the desire for somebody to be able to straighten this world out, to straighten the mess that we've made out of this world out. Like the ancient Israelites before us, we have all been filled with stories of God's mighty interventions in the past. But we also know that many of our contemporaries and perhaps we ourselves are grappling with our own current darkness, offering up our own personal lamentations before God, a God who all too often appears to be silent and absent from our lives. And in the midst of our own desperate situations, situations of loss, situations of sickness and disease, situations of failed relationships, we too cry out, "Lord, why don't you come down? Why don't you tear open the heavens and come down and rescue us? Why don't you intervene now to put an end to the scourge of cancer? Why don't you tear through the darkness of child abuse and neglect? Why don't you put an end to the injustices suffered by the weak and the vulnerable? Why don't you come down with the same earth-shaking power that you did in the days of old so that we might be saved?" Have you ever prayed a prayer like that? Have you ever talked with God like that? "God, I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of undergoing what I'm undergoing. I'm tired of the world as it is. I'm tired of the darkness that is controlling my life. When are you going to do something about it, Lord? When are you going to bring light to the darkness? When are you going to do something about our world and about the darkness that often fills our world and our lives? Why don't you come down now, Lord? The prophet Isaiah has his own partial explanation for God's absence and silence. Isaiah says it's because of the people's sin. Lord, we have sinned. We have become as unclean people. Our righteousness is like an unclean cloth, like an old rag. And so the prophet pleads, do not remember our iniquities. Do not remember our sins. Do not hold it against us. But please, Lord, remember us. Please remember that we are your people. Please remember that you are our Father, because without you, we have no hope. Without you, we are lost. Without you, there is only darkness. So please remember us while you forgive our sins. I heard some of those sentiments expressed this week as I was watching the news. I heard it expressed by a woman in Missouri in the midst of the rioting and the turmoil there that has been taking place. When is somebody going to straighten this mess out? Are we doomed to continue to live this way? Are we doomed to suffer distrust with one another? Are we doomed to be at each other's throats? Is this the way that we are doomed to live? Are we always going to be at each other's throats? Are we always going to suffer injustice? Are we always going to be distrusting of one another? When is somebody going to come and straighten this mess out? I heard something like it expressed in Egypt the day before yesterday, when it was announced that the former Egyptian dictator Hosni Mubarak would not be charged for murder. And the streets filled, and many Egyptians wondered, is this what it's going to be about? Is this the way the world is, that if you're powerful and you have power, you get away with murder? Is this the way it is? When is somebody going to straighten this mess out? When is somebody going to do something about the injustice that occurs in the world? I heard it expressed by a woman, a sports fan, this week, when it was announced that the football player who was seen on video abusing his fiance was going to be able to play football after all. Is this what it's about? When is somebody going to straighten this mess out? When are we going to get justice? Lord, when are you going to tear open the heavens and come through? When are you going to show your face? When are you going to straighten this world out? Advent is a time to acknowledge our sinfulness. It is a time to acknowledge our brokenness. It's not just a time of urgently waiting and watching for God, but it's also a season of penance. That's one of the reasons that we've changed our colors from green to purple this morning. Purple is the color of repentance. It's also one of the reasons that we don't rush right into singing Christmas carols. We don't want to prematurely greet the Lord without acknowledging how lost we are, how broken we are, how hopeless we are. Not just some of us, but all of us. We're all broken. We're all lost. We are all without hope. If the hope does not come from God. We are all in need of a Savior. In the words of Methodist Bishop William Willimon, nothing within us can save us. No thing can save us. No president, no bomb, no new car, no bottle, no white Christmas. Our hope must be in someone out there who comes to us. We find our way only because one comes, takes our hand, and leads us home. And so, my friends, we wait. We are here this morning to wait. We wait for the coming of God in our midst. We wait for the coming of one who can save us. Oh, if you would just tear open the heavens, Lord, and come down and clean up our mess, come down and free us from our hatreds, our fears, our blindness, and our prejudices. If you would just come down. Come down and free us from our Fergusons, our Syrias, our Iraqs, our Ukraines. Tear open the heavens and come down, because without you, Lord, we have no hope. Of course, we in the church know that old Isaiah's prayers were answered. It was answered in the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, God with us. In the Gospel of Mark, we are told that at Jesus' baptism, the heavens were ripped apart and the Holy Spirit descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And it was that same Spirit that propelled Jesus out into the world to bring God's loving presence near, not only in acts of healing of the sick and clothing the naked and in feeding the hungry, but in the ultimate act of salvation, the expression of God's self-giving love on the cross for the sake of the world. Advent is a time when we acknowledge that the heavens were torn open and God came into our midst as the person of Jesus. But that was 2,000 years ago. And we are still waiting. We are still waiting, and the world seems as dark as ever. And so we still ask the words that the prophet asked in the midst of our current darkness. Lord, when are you going to tear open the heavens? When are you going to come? What are you waiting for, Lord? We need you now. We need you in the midst of our world. We need you in the midst of our brokenness. We need you in the midst of all the things that we are doing to the world. We don't know if we're going to make it. When are you going to come? If only you would tear open the heavens, Lord, right now. We need you right now. When are you going to come? What are you waiting for, Lord? Sometimes I wonder that maybe God is waiting on us. What if God is waiting on you and me? What if God is waiting for us to tear through the things that alienate us from one another and from God? What if God is waiting for us to tear through our fears, to tear through our complacency, to tear through our hatreds, to tear through our petty differences with one another? What if God is waiting on us? What if God says, I showed you how to do it. I showed you what salvation looks like. I showed you what it is to be redeemed. I came into your midst as Emmanuel. I came to be with you. I came to show you what love looks like. I came to show you what it means to love one another and to love God with all of your heart and all of your mind and all of your strength. I came to show you what that looks like. I came even to die on the cross for you. I broke through the heavens so that you might be able to see that. I came to show you all of that. And so now I'm waiting on you. I'm waiting on you to break through and embrace and grasp that redemption that I have made available to you. What if God, this Advent season, is waiting for us to be the light of the world that God has called us to be? Lord, help us to tear through and be the people. Be the people that you desire us to be during this season of light. Let us pray. Eternal God, on this first Sunday in Advent, as we wait for your coming in our midst, help us to live into the promise of this season. Help us to grasp the vision that you expressed and brought to us in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Help us to embrace now and to live into now the coming of your kingdom. In everything that we do, help us to live the hope that this season is about. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.